Chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16. It's going to serve as our preaching material for today. Amen. Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16. The text says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. I want to talk again about sacrificial praise. Sacrificial praise. Am I the only one who has found myself coming to church from time to time and really just didn't feel like worshiping? Has anybody ever been there? You came to church, but something was going on. Once you got here, you really didn't feel like worshiping. But have you also discovered that if you would worship God anyhow, the more you worship, the better you feel? Come on now, don't play with me. I said, have you ever discovered that even when you don't feel like worshiping, if you worship anyhow, the more you worship, the better you feel? One of the six values of our church is worship. First Sunday bulletin and then the e-bulletins, you see them listed there as evangelism, edification, love, worship, community involvement, and excellence. Worship is one of our values. It's so important that from time to time in the course of the year, we ought to just pull over and make sure we got this worship stuff together. Because after all, it is one of the primary things we do. There's very few things we do more than worship in our church, and therefore, it requires our attention. For the sake of time, I want to organize my thoughts today around Jesus' praise and ministry. What is he talking about? He's talking about being mindful of Jesus. Praise and ministry. Jesus, the first two words of our text says, through Jesus. Hear me very well now. You cannot render to God Christian worship without being a Christian. You have to be a Christian in order to engage in Christian worship that is pleasing to the Lord. Hear me real well. You can come to church every Sunday for decades and not be a Christian. You can give up smoking, drinking, and chasing without being a Christian. What does it take to be a Christian? It means you must accept Jesus as your Savior by faith. In quiet moments, when there is no band, where there is no pastor, where there is no church crowd around you, you need to have peace with God because of your confidence that Jesus paid it all for you. Through Jesus. These are more than just words on paper. This is the only entrance into worship that is pleasing to God. Now, worship can be entertaining to you without it being pleasing to God. Oh, yeah, yes, yes, yes. Tyler Perry, who I think is doing a marvelous job, has made millions of dollars talking about and picturing the Black Church Experience in his various productions. People all around the world like the Black Worship Experience. I must be careful and share with you that God is bigger than blackness. Perhaps one of the things I enjoy about my seminary experience, I enjoy it better now that I'm finished with it than I did when I was forced to do it. But we had chapel. Chapel is basically the church on the school campus. And because there was a diverse student body, they couldn't just always have black worship in the chapel. Everybody had to get a little piece. And so you had white folk in worship, black folk in worship, Methodist, Presbyterian, you name it. Everybody who paid tuition had their day in chapel and to worship God in their style. And I can tell you from my own experience that God is bigger than the black worship experience. You would make a grave mistake to think that people who are not Black Baptists cannot worship God. They worship God in a different style, but God is just that big of a God. However, I am not preaching to my fellow students in chapel right now. I'm preaching to Black Baptist folk in Avondale, Cincinnati, Ohio. I am telling you there are people who just like the way we roll. They like the way the choir sound. They like to hear the deacons pray. They like to hear pastor put a growl in his voice. And they just like the flow of the worship service. I understand. However, the fact that you are entertained by worship does not mean that you have accepted Jesus as your Savior. And the fact that you are entertaining, the fact that you can sing so well that folk cry, the fact that you can preach so well that people shout, does not mean that you are saved. So I'm challenging everybody in the room, starting with me, to make sure we are saved. Because whatever we do, if it's not done through Jesus Christ, it does not count. And I say to some who always think worship is a little off, and sometimes it's off because the choir didn't sing the right song, is your understanding, or they sung the right song, but they didn't sing it the right way, or the pastor didn't preach the right sermon, or he's not living by what he preached, or the deacons didn't pray right, the usher didn't smile right. Something's off in worship. Let me give you a cue. If worship is always off, the problem may be with the worshiper. Worship will always be off if the worshiper is off. And you are off if you are not saved. You will adapt to the entertaining component of worship. I don't care how well the choir sound. If they keep singing the same song every Sunday for the next 3 months, by the time they get to that last Sunday of the third month, you ready for another song. And so you got to have more going for you than entertainment. You got to get this through Jesus Christ stuff tight, because this is going to be on the exam. Way before God talked to us about the playlist in our worship service, way before he examined our attendance record in worship, way before he looks at our wardrobe in worship, he's going to ask, did we get this through Jesus stuff together? Nothing counts until you get right with Jesus. That's as plain as I know how to make that. Come on. Second piece now is praise. Talking about Jesus, praise, and ministry. Talking about praise now. The text says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. When you and I get here, we ought to make up in our mind that we are going to praise the Lord. Now, let's just tell the truth. There are times We don't necessarily feel like praising the Lord. Sometimes our loved ones can be so heavy on our heart that we don't feel like all this hallelujah, thank you, Jesus type stuff. When your marriage is falling apart, when you're depressed about not having a marriage, when your children are acting like they don't have good sense, when you are despondent about not having any children, sometimes it can be hard to praise the Lord. When your money is funny, bills are high and checks are low, sometimes it's hard to raise your hand talking about thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord. When your health is jacked up, your back hurt, your hip hurt, your knee hurt, your ankles hurt, your shoulders hurt, your elbows hurt, your hands hurt, you got a headache, you can't see, you can't hear, it's hard to worship the Lord. This sciatic nerve, you know, you just find out stuff once you pass 40. I didn't even know there was no such thing as no sciatic nerve. But this sciatic nerve, it can flare up in such a way you don't feel like praising the Lord. Now, y'all looking at me like that suggests to me you've never had problems with a sciatic nerve. If you had a problem with a sciatic nerve, you would know exactly what I'm talking about. When that nerve hit, the last thing on your mind is praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I help. Sometimes church can be such that you don't feel like praising the Lord. Pastor done said something you didn't like. Choir done sung something you didn't like. Somebody on your row looked at you the wrong way. Something has gone wrong and you don't feel like praising him. Something can go wrong in the community and get you out of a worshiping spirit. It's easy for me to praise God in Cincinnati in spite of what's going on in Ferguson, Missouri. However, if my church was in Ferguson, Missouri, I'm not sure how my praise service would go over. What I'm trying to do is empathize with this idea that sometimes, no matter how saved we are, we come up in here and don't feel like praising the Lord. But it is in this time that I am telling you and me that we must give God what I have labeled sacrificial praise. It is a praise that supersedes how I feel. It is praising God even though I don't feel like praising God. Now, you must be careful. It is not a praising of circumstances. It is not, Lord, thank you that I've been diagnosed with cancer. It's not, Lord, thank you that my bills are overdue. It is not, Lord, thank you that I feel lonely. No. It is, Lord, I praise you in spite of the diagnosis. I praise you in spite of my money being funny. I praise you in spite of friends being few. It is not a denial, it is a going above. I shared this morning that in the morning, I'll be going to New Orleans, Missouri for our National Baptist Convention. And I pray every day, several times a day. But when I have to fly, the Lord and I spend a little extra time talking with one another. When I have to go 30,000 feet in the air, me and the Lord have a nice conversation. So we have quick chats when I'm on the ground, but when I'm on my way up in the air, me and the Lord have to have a nice conversation. In flying, there are times when the pilot runs into what's known as turbulence. You can go talk to a pilot about all the scientific description. What it means to me is the plane start moving in ways that make me uncomfortable, all right? Especially at 30,000 feet up in the air. The air is choppy. It makes the plane move. And so sometimes it's mild turbulence. And the pilot can just tough it out. We're going to get on through. It's not all that bad. But every now and then, the turbulence is so bad that the pilots say, we must go up a little higher. Got to rise above the turbulence. Because there's smooth air up here at 35,000, 40,000 feet. If you stay at 30,000, you got turbulence. But if you come up a little bit higher, it does not stop the turbulence, but you don't experience it as bad. Just come on up a little bit higher. Well, that's what you and I ought to learn how to do when we come to the worship service. It's a time for us to rise above the turbulence. It is not a denial of the turbulence. It is our decision. We are not going to let the turbulence shake us up on today. I'm rising above it, and I'm trusting that the Lord will see me to my destination. I have not been born to die in the turbulence, so I will rise above it and trust God to get me to the next airport. Now I say to us that people will get on your nerves, but you ought not take it out on God. Somebody here that has a healthy marriage knows that there are times that you may be ticked off because of what has happened at your job or somewhere in your life. But when you get home, it's not healthy to take it out on your spouse, take it out on your children. It's a difference between your work life and your family life. So sometimes you got to pull over before you get home. Go get some coffee. Do something. Go for a walk. Get your head right. Don't bring all of this frustration from the job into your home. You hear me? Well, when it comes to worship, sometimes we can be so frustrated with what's going on in our life that we come to church and withhold our worship because we are mad with some of everybody except God. So I don't like what the pastor said. I don't like what my boss said. I don't like all this pain in my body. My family is all jacked up. And so I'm just going to sit here and withhold my worship. I remind you that no matter what's going on in your life, God is worthy of the praise. Now, I shouldn't have to create a long list here. You can just look back over your life and see how good he's already been. You can start with Jesus if you would like. You could talk about how the Holy Spirit indwells you. Somebody's been sick. Somebody's been broke. Somebody's had enemies that got mighty close to you. And somehow you are still standing. Sister Brown would say, you're not just standing. I still got a praise in me while I'm standing. He has been good. He is good. In spite of everything that's going on in my life, I got a church-going mind. In spite of everything that's going on in my life, I'm still standing and trusting the Lord to work things out. Not only can I praise him for what he's doing, but I can praise him for what he has promised he will do. Anybody trust the promises of God? He promised that I'll never leave you, never will I forsake you. God is always worthy to be praised no matter what's going on in our life. Before I move past this praise matter, let me observe with you that our praise ought to be continual and vocal. Can y'all help me? Continual and vocal. Can you help me again? I said continual and vocal. You got it. You got it. Continual. And I'm not making it up. That's what the text says. The text says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Continual praise means that whether I'm up or whether I'm down, whether I have money or whether I'm broke as can be, whether my friends are all around or my friends are few, I'm going to praise the Lord. You know, there are some people who are fair weather worshipers. They only worship God when all is well. And then there are others, I call them crisis clappers, that you can almost tell what's going on in their life by the energy they bring to worship. When they're really free-spirited, that means they're going through. Because when they got money in their pocket, they don't even come to church. You know, there are some folk that don't come to prayer meeting until the doctor done gave them bad news. And when the doctor give them bad news, they beat the preacher to the church. All right? You don't want to be like this. No matter your lot in life, you ought to always give God some praise. And then it ought to be vocal praise. The fruit of your lips implies you ought to say something. The book says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Don't rock so, don't look so, don't think so. Say so. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. That last sentence, everything must be done so that the church must be built up. Get it good now. When you and I come into this room on Sunday or whatever day we come for worship, we do not come here to have a bunch of private worship experiences and we just all happen to be in the same place. That's not what's happening here. What's happening here is we have all come to worship God together. Do you know why I have a microphone? It is so you can hear me. I am talking to you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. It is a corporate worship service. It's a reason why the choir sings so loud. It's not so they can hear one another. They can sing lower and hear one another, but they sing louder so everybody can hear the words to the song. We are in this thing together. And everything we do together ought to be edifying, building up, helpful to the other people in the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. That's why we need to bring an amen. We need to bring a praise the Lord. We need to bring a thank you, Jesus, to the worship service. There are some who pride themselves on silent, solemn worship. This might be helpful for your private, personal worship experience. But when you come to church and we are in the midst of enthusiastic worship and you're sitting there like a statue, it has us thoroughly confused. It makes us wonder, do you hear what we're talking about? Do you agree that the Lord is good? It looks strange to us for you to say, I believe God is good. We're singing, we're up, we're clapping, we're enjoying the worship service, and you sitting there looking like you are in deep thought about what you're going to eat today. Well, let me paint a picture for you. Because some of y'all feel as if I'm picking on you, so let me turn. Can you imagine if the choir was up here humming softly throughout the whole song service? Just humming softly to themselves. And somebody asked them, what are y'all doing? We can't hear you. And this was their reply. We're just singing in our hearts. Is that going to work? No. You expect them to sing out loud for the benefit of the congregation. Why? Because that's their function. I got breaking news. If you are a believer, you are not in the worship service to be a spectator. You are a participant. So just like it would be crazy for the choir to be sitting up here humming to themselves, talking about the Lord knows my heart, it's just about that crazy for you to be sitting out in the pew looking like a statue, talking about the Lord knows my heart. He might know, but we don't know. Just like you want the choir to sing out so you can hear, we want you to act like you are in this worship service. This is not a movie. You're not watching a performance. This is worship. Now, if you're not saved, I understand what's going on. You really can't get with all of this. You are spectating. But if you're saved, you shouldn't have to wait until the service is almost over for you to get into it. When the deacon said, brothers and sisters, it's time for us to bring our hearts and minds in, you should have been the first one to say, Lord, thank you. The writer said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house. He was praising the Lord. He was glad before church started. Psalms 100 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Don't wait until you have already entered. When you come in the entrance, you ought to already be praising him. And perhaps what has us a little off base is we forget the object of our praise. Read the text again. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that confess his name. Offer to God. Sometimes it almost seems as if you think you're doing the preacher a favor by saying amen. As if you are a fan. It's like I'm doing a performance. What's one of these guys named? Jay-Z, right? I'm dating myself, Jay-Z. Jay-Z does still sing, don't he? Okay, thank you. As much money as he got, he don't need to sing, but he still sang every now and then. When Jay-Z get up to sing, he try to pump people up and he want people to feed him energy, and everything you're saying during his performance is designed for Jay-Z. And there are some people who come to church that act like the preacher is the church Jay-Z, and y'all just trying to pump up the preacher. If that's the case, I see why you so sometimey with your amens. But when you understand that's not what we came here for at all. We came here to praise God. The preacher is temporary. Do y'all remember before me there was an Edwards, before there was an Edwards, there was a Milton? We come and we go. But God is always worthy to be praised. All right, I'm coming in now. That was Jesus in praise. This is ministry stuff. Y'all still here? Should be mindful of Jesus' praise and ministry. The text says, verse 15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Yes. But then verse 16 starts off with this conjunction, and. What and means is what comes before the and is connected to what comes after the and. It is a conjunction. It ties these ideals together. So 15 talks about praising God continually, vocally through Jesus, yes. But let's look at what this praise is connected to. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. Listen, for with such sacrifices, plural, God is pleased. In other words, God is not just pleased with praise that has no service, nor is he pleased with service that has no praise. God wants both praise and service. With such sacrifices, God is pleased. Are y'all still here? You cannot afford to just come to church, shout yourself happy for a couple of hours on Sunday, and then help nobody in the course of the week. The more you shout, the more you praise, then the more you ought to serve, the more you ought to share, the more you ought to help somebody. In some of our older churches, there's still a placard over the door. It says, enter to worship, depart to serve. This is a beautiful and very biblical idea. When a believer comes to worship, we come here to tell the Lord we are so thankful for how good he's been. We come to express our allegiance to him. But then we leave to serve him. When you can leave church and help nobody from Sunday to Sunday, it means you really missed what God is all about. Because after all, he didn't save us just to praise him. He saved us that we might be a blessing to somebody else. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And thus I close by reminding us that every praiser, every worshiper ought to find and perform their ministry. Don't shout out before you help somebody. There's so much work that needs to be done. There's work that needs to be done with our men. There's all kinds of work that needs to be done with our women. There's all kinds of work that needs to be done with our young people. Our children need ministry. Our teenagers need ministry. Our young adults need ministry. And if by chance we ever get everything nice and tight on the inside of the church, which I don't see happening anytime soon, there's all kinds of ministry outside the walls of this church. We need more Christians to get involved with the development of our young people. Our young people have enough people critiquing and criticizing them. What they need is somebody who can mentor them, somebody who can help them see you are more than what you appear to be. If you ever find yourself sad and despondent about all of the trouble that our young people get into, then you might want to look in the mirror and ask yourself, self, what are you doing with your saved self to help any of these children you feel so sad about? Now, I'm the first to tell you, everybody does not have a gift for working with young people. Everybody does not have that strength. Everybody does not have that anointing. But if it's not your gift, you ought to at least support somebody that have the gift. You ought to at least be able to encourage. You ought to pray for. You ought to let people know you appreciate the service that is being rendered. And you know, at this point in our lives, we shouldn't have to have a long sermon about the relationship between praise and ministry. Because after all, it was the black church that gave so much energy to what we've labeled as the civil rights movement. It may have never been tens of thousands at the Washington Monument had it not been for the black church. Big Mama and them may not have gone very far in school, but at least they had enough sense to know that all this jumping and shouting in church ought not stop in church. They would jump and shout their way out of worship into marching on the nation's capital. It was church folk that boycotted the buses in Alabama. I remind you, Dr. King wasn't just a civil rights leader. He was a black Baptist preacher. Al Sharpton is not just an activist. Al Sharpton is a preacher. Jesse Jackson is not just an activist. Jesse Jackson is a Baptist preacher. It is a seamless connection between jumping and shouting on Sunday and helping the less fortunate on Monday. Whenever you just jump and shout, that's all you're good for. Jumping and shouting, feeling good. Your religious gymnastics. You come here for spiritual exercise on Sunday, but we never see you for prayer. We never see you for study. We never see you for service. All you're good for is making noise on Sunday. You embarrass what this is really all about. This is a time for us to energize ourselves, to leave here to serve those who don't have it the way we have it. And for those of you who are a little put off by Black history, let me remind you that our Christ understood the connection between worship and service. Can I remind you that after he sung a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives, he also made his way to Calvary. So yes, there was the praise. Yes, there was the worship. But then there was also that service up on yonder's hill. And so it's time then for you and for me to ask ourselves, where are we at in this sermon? After all of these years of coming and going to and from the church, do we worship God continually and vocally? Do we worship God through Jesus? And perhaps the pressing question, as we make ready to close down another fiscal year in our church, is can the Lord use you in ministry? It's painful to look at how difficult it is to find a worshiper that's willing to work for the Lord. The Lord don't just want your amen and thank you, Jesus, but he also wants your hands to do what he wants you to do. Your feet to go where he wants you to go. Your voice to say what he wants you to say. Well, that's all. Let me close by reading a scripture. This is found in Psalms 100. I think they read this for the devotional period. Let me read it just one more time. The Bible said, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Listen to this part here. His gates with thanksgiving. His courts with praise. Did you hear what I said? You ought not have to get inside the sanctuary to praise my Lord. The Bible says that as we enter, we ought to already be thanking him. As we come in, praise should have already started. When you think about all it took for you to get to the door, you ought to tell the Lord, thank you for letting me just make it to the door. Thank you, Lord, that all night long angels watched over me. Thank you, Lord, for food on my table, clothes on my back, shelter over my head. Thank you, as I traveled over dangerous highways and byways, you kept all four wheels of my car on the road. Lord, thank you. The brakes worked on my car. Thank you, Lord, that when I turned the ignition, the car didn't blow up on me. Thank you that when I stopped at the red light, a drunk driver did not come plowing into me. Thank you, Lord, this morning when I rose, I rose with a church going mind. The reason you ought to thank him, cause somebody here can look back over your life and remember when the last thing on your mind on Sunday morning was going to church. But this morning, when you rose, you woke up in your right mind, for your mind was stayed on Jesus. The Bible says, give thanks to him and praise his name. Don't praise the name of Baines. Praise the name of Jesus. Don't praise the name of Edwards. Praise the name of Jesus. The Bible says, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Ain't God all right? I need a minute to unpack verse 5. It did not say, praise his name, for the Lord was good. That's not what the Bible says. Even though it's true, he was good. The text does not say, praise his name, for the Lord will be good. That's true, but not what it says. Listen again and what the Bible says. Praise his name, for the Lord is good. That means right here, right now,
all. He is good, and his love endures forever. And I like this part. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Can I tell y'all why I like that last piece? It lets me know that when death comes creeping in my room, I can die right easy. 'Cause God does not die with me. His faithfulness endureth for generations. Get it good now. One of these days I'll be gone, but I thank God that God will still be here. Ain't that good news? I'm so glad that if death comes and take me easy, the same God that took care of me will take care of my wife, of my children, of my mama, of my sister, of my grandchild. God's faithfulness endures for generations. Isn't that good news? I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I sure enough know who holds tomorrow. The same God that held yesterday, the same God that holds today, can be trusted to hold tomorrow. I don't know about you, but I made up my mind that if don't nobody else praise my God, then I'll just praise him all by myself. It would be marvelous, it would be great to be in the midst of worshipers. But if by chance you don't worship him, I made up my mind to reach down every Sunday and find a praise from my Lord. Thank you, Sister Brown, that after all I've been through, after the fire, after the flood, I still have a praise inside of me, and I'm thankful it's inside of me. That means I can call it up whenever I need it. I thank God for my musicians, but my praise is not in the Hammond. My praise is not in the bass. My praise is not in the guitar. My praise is inside of me. When I walk out the door, my praise goes with me. When I lay down at night, my praise is with me. When I wake up in the middle of the night, I don't have to go looking for my praise. My praise is inside of me, and I don't know how y'all feel about it, but the more I praise him, the better I feel. The more I praise him, the more joy I have in my soul. I just feel better after I praise him. I just feel better after I tell the Lord how thankful I am for how he's brought me through dangers, seen and unseen. Anybody here happy about being in Christ? Anybody here happy about being saved, sanctified, filled with His precious Holy Spirit? Isn't it good to know that you know that you know that you know when this life is over? I got another home that's not built by the hands of men. They tell me, and I gotta quit, but they tell me over there, no more crying, no more mourning, no more sorrow, hearse wheels don't roll, I won't have to give any more eulogies, I won't have to make any more hospital calls, no more counseling sessions. Over there is always howdy, howdy, never goodbye. Anybody here got your reservation? Anybody here got your name in the book? Anybody here got your name in the Lamb's book of life? Don't it give you peace? Don't it give you joy? Don't it help you hold on just a little while longer? I dare you say yes, yes, yes. Hey, I thank God. I thank God that I'm not so Baptist that I don't know how to praise His holy name. I'm telling you what I know. There's power in praise. And sometimes you don't feel like praising Him. That's all right. Praise Him anyhow. By the time you get started, it'll get easier every round of praise. You live beneath your privilege to walk around here being an angry, bitter Christian, sad, despondent, depressed. We are children of God. And no matter what's going on around us, we serve a God who is working things out for the good of His people. So we don't have to walk around here hopeless. We don't have all the answers. I don't know what in the world is going to happen in the Middle East. I don't know what's going to happen in Ferguson. There's a whole lot of stuff I don't know. But what I do know is God is still working things out. And if you just trust Him, it's going to be all right. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today is a good day to come and say, yes, Lord. If you know you need to get saved, you need to get right with God, why don't you come now?